Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
You found your place in the very first psalm, and if you're able tonight, would you please stand as we read these six short verses of Scripture together. I'm trusting tonight that God would use these verses out of this very first psalm to not only challenge us, but ultimately to change us that we may be more like the Lord Jesus. The very first psalm says this: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now, I'd like to back up and read the first four words of verse number one of this, the very first psalm in our Bibles. And I'd like to use those first four words in verse number one as the title of my Bible message tonight. I'm preaching on the thought, "Blessed is the man." Would you say those four words audibly with me? Let's say them together tonight, shall we? Blessed is the man. My Father, help us tonight as we consider your word. Help us to determine, having heard it, to not only be hearers, but ultimately to be doers of it. Help me, I pray. I'm nothing without you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated. I've always found it amazing while studying the six verses that go to make up this, the very first psalm in our Bibles, how that the psalm can actually be divided into two very distinct sections. First of all, let's take a few moments in order that we may consider the last three verses of the psalm. Here in the final three verses of this very first psalm, here the Bible calls our attention to several truths concerning the godless man. Notice again what your Bible says concerning the godless man, beginning with verse 4. The Bible says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Surely you would agree with me when I say tonight, my, what a contrast from the first three verses of the psalm. Have you ever, while considering the six verses that make up this very first psalm in our Bibles, considered the contrast between the first three verses of the psalm and the last three verses of the psalm? In verses 4, 5, and 6, the Bible teaches us about the godless man. While in verses 1, 2, and 3, the Holy Spirit calls our attention to several truths concerning the godly man, or as he is identified in verse 1, the blessed man. Notice again what God said in his word concerning the blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, let me hasten to ask you tonight, have you taken the time to consider the contrast in this very first psalm? In verses 1, 2, and 3, the Bible teaches us about the godly man, whereas in verses 4, 5, and 6, the Bible teaches us about the godless man. In verses 1, 2, and 3, the Bible teaches us about the saint, whereas in verses 4, 5, and 6, the Bible teaches us about the sinner. In fact, I like the way the old country preacher put it on one occasion when he said in verses 1, 2, and 3, God teaches us about the saints, and verses 4, 5, and 6, he teaches us about the ain'ts. Amen. Here in the final verses of this first psalm, the Word of God is speaking of the individual who deliberately chooses to leave God out of every area of his life. Now, the Word of God refers to such an individual as being an ungodly man. And may I say tonight, everything about this ungodly man that we read about in the text sets him in stark contrast with everything we read about the godly man in the first three verses of the psalm. Now, I'm not preaching the entire message tonight about the godless man, the man that has no time for God. But if you'll notice in verse 4, the godless man is driven. The Bible teaches us that he is driven as the chaff is driven away by the wind. Now, that's verse 4. In verse 5, the ungodly man is doomed, because according to the text, as a result of this individual's own choices, he or she has no standing in the day of judgment. He's driven, verse 4, he's doomed, verse 5, and then according to verse 6, the ungodly man, the godless man, he is ultimately devastated, because according to verse 6, the way of such a man will perish. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bible truth concerning the ungodly man. The man that has no time for God. The man that is unyielding when it comes to knowing and performing the will of God for his life. According to verses 4, 5, and 6, such a man is driven, such a man is doomed, and such a man, according to the Bible, is ultimately devastated. But again, what a significant contrast between the first three verses of the psalm and the last three verses of the psalm. Now, you and I know what God has said about the godless man in verses 4, 5, and 6. But in what very few moments we have remaining in the service tonight, I want to spend it calling your attention to several Bible truths about the godly man. Let me once again call your attention, if I may, to the first four words of the psalm that we're using as the title of the Bible message tonight. My Bible begins this very first psalm out of the 150 that we have in our King James Bibles by saying, "Blessed is the man." Now, let's back up and say those four words again audibly, shall we? Let's say them together. Blessed is the man. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I'm intrigued by that word blessed. I'm very interested in that word blessed. It could be tonight that I desire a blessing from the Lord. And so I'm interested to know what God has to say about this man in the very first psalm that he calls blessed. Now, did you know when you study your Bible, when you dig into the truths concerning that little word blessed, you'll discover that it is speaking not only of happiness, but it is speaking of intense, extreme happiness. In fact, when you consider the order of the Hebrew language in the text, the Bible in the very first psalm is actually emphasizing just that: intense happiness, extreme happiness. And therefore, it goes without saying tonight, here as early as the first three verses of the very first psalm, God, through the pen of the psalmist, he is teaching us how we can be extremely happy. And surely you would agree with me tonight when I say this is a Bible truth certainly worthy of our consideration tonight. Why, are you aware of the fact, as I stand in the pulpit of the Amazing Grace Baptist Church of Mount Airy, North Carolina, there are people all over this world that are spending literally millions of dollars. They want to know how they can be extremely happy. Well, God reveals the true pathway to happiness in the first three verses of this, the very first psalm. And here in the text before us tonight, God makes it abundantly clear that extreme happiness, intense happiness, doesn't come from acquiring gold. True happiness, extreme happiness, is the result of knowing God. True happiness, extreme happiness, does not lie in the philosophy of a world that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh no, quite the contrary. True happiness, extreme happiness, is experienced when a man turns from his sin to the Savior and then makes a conscious decision, having done so, to live in the light of the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Such a man in the Word of God is identified as being a blessed man. Would you say the first four words with me of verse number one again? Let's say them together. Blessed is the man. Therefore, if God is revealing the true pathway here to extreme, to intense happiness, I want to know what God says. So what is it about this blessed man, this extremely happy man, that God would have us to see here in the text tonight? Three truths directly from your King James Bible. First of all, according to the Word of God, the blessed man lives a guarded life. Let me say that again. According to the Bible, according to God's Word, the blessed man, the extremely happy man, lives a guarded life. Now, if you or I, either one, were to ask a modern-day psychologist, "Sir, ma'am, I want to live an extremely happy life. Can you please explain to me how I can be extremely happy?" I have no doubt in my mind the modern day psychologist would probably respond by saying something like this: "Well, if you're going to live an extremely happy life in this very negative world in which we are living today, you're going to have to think positive. You're going to have to perform positive. You're going to have to surround yourself with positive people." But isn't it amazing? As God begins to reveal the pathway to extreme happiness, He doesn't begin by being positive. Now, He eventually, in the psalm, as we will see later on in the Bible message tonight, tells us what a blessed man will do. But in verse number one, He tells us what a blessed man will not do. He doesn't begin by revealing that is positive. He begins by revealing the negative. Let me show it to you. Verse 1. Blessed is the man. Would you say those four words with me? Let's say them together, shall we? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Is that what your Bible says? That's what my Bible says. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man, the extremely happy man, lives a guarded life. Now, notice two things directly from the text. First of all, notice in verse 1 the progressive decline that is illustrated. There is a progressive decline that is illustrated in verse number 1, and God uses three words in verse number 1 to illustrate the progressive decline. Watch me tonight. Do you see the word walketh in verse number 1? Do you see the word standeth in verse number 1? And then there is another word. Do you see it? It's right there in verse number 1. It is the word sitteth. In those three words, walketh, standeth, and sitteth, we see a progressive decline that God, through the pen of the psalmist, is illustrated in the text. First of all, in that word walketh, God illustrates the idea of a casual acquaintance with the ungodly that's in the process of developing. In the word standeth, we see yet a closer relationship coming to fruition. At this point, there is no longer a turning away from sinners, but rather a stopping, and now there is an intermingling with them. Do you see the progressive decline? The walk has turned into a time of standing, and then as the decline continues to progress, in the word sitteth, we see a complete absorption into the sinner's ways and activities. At this point, if an individual is sitting and keeping company with sinners, a man now has become like the ungodly to the point that he is sitting with them. So do you see the progressive decline that is illustrated in verse number 1? Do you see it? You see it in the word walketh. You see it in the word standeth. You see it in the word sitteth. But wait a minute. The blessed man is known by what he refuses to do. And so, therefore, in verse number 1, there is not only a progressive decline that is illustrated, there is secondly a perpetual defense as well. According to verse number 1, there are three things that the blessed man, the extremely happy man, absolutely refuses to do and makes no apology for not doing it. According to verse number 1, the blessed man refuses to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That simply means that he never seeks to know or live by advice given by those who do not know God or have no place for God in their lives. He refuses to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. According to verse 1, the blessed man refuses to stand in the way of sinners. Just to be real frank tonight, a blessed man chooses his friends wisely. Oh, if I only had a dollar bill. Every time I've heard Dr. Alan Barker say, you are now or you soon will be what your friends are. Did you know that is a Bible truth that every single one of us ought to get beyond our heads to the point that it finds a lodging place in our heart? A blessed man refuses to stand in the way of sinners. He refuses to keep company with anybody on a regular basis who openly embraces sin and lives in complete contradiction to this Bible that you and I say we believe from cover to cover. The blessed man refuses to stand in the way of sinners. And then according to the text, the blessed man refuses to sit in the seat of the scornful. Again, that word sitteth in the text carries the idea of dwelling or remaining. That simply means the blessed man, the extremely happy man, absolutely refuses to allow himself to become fascinated and infatuated with the ways of the ungodly. Why? Because the blessed man lives a guarded life and makes no apology for it. It doesn't matter, make a difference what the world says about him. It doesn't make a difference what they post on social media about him. It doesn't bother him that they call him old-fashioned, an outdated fuddy-duddy. It doesn't bother the blessed man because according to the Bible, the blessed man lives a guarded life. According to verse 1, there are some things that a blessed man will not do. According to verse 1, there are some places that a blessed man will not go. According to verse 1, there are some words that a blessed man will not use. According to verse number 1, there are some websites that a blessed man will not log on to. According to verse number 1, there are some articles of clothing that a blessed man will not wear. According to verse number 1, there are some people that a blessed man's not going to continuously hang around with. Are you getting the picture tonight? The blessed man, the extremely happy man, he lives a guarded life. Getting out of the will of God, it usually doesn't happen just like that. I'll tell you how it starts. It starts with a walk. And then the walk eventually turns into a time of standing with sinners. And if you start standing with them, sooner or later, you're going to be sitting with them. Do you remember reading about a fellow by the name of Lot? One of the first portions of the Bible that deals with Abraham's nephew Lot. Lot pitched his tent toward a Sodom. Now I'm going to condense about 2 hours worth of preaching by saying this. He started pitching his tent toward Sodom, but by the time his story is nearing its ending, he is where? He is sitting. He is sitting in the gate of a place where only city officials would have been sitting. It's quite possible, it's highly probable that Lot, Abraham's nephew, he could have very well been the mayor of the city of Sodom. It didn't happen overnight. He just pitched his tent that way. And a walk turned into a time of standing with the Sodomites. And the standing with the Sodomites turned into a time of sitting with the Sodomites. Oh, may we learn the great Bible lesson from the life of this man by the name of Lot and determine with all that's within us tonight to say, I will, by the good grace of God, be that blessed man. If that's going to be the case, I'm going to have to live a guarded life. For you see, a blessed man, oh yes, he's known for the things that he does do, but he's also known for the things that he will not do. The blessed man lives a guarded life. Secondly, according to the Bible, the blessed man lives a guided life. Notice, if you would please, the progression of the text. Yes, the Bible does tell us what a blessed man refuses to do, but here in the same portion of Scripture, the Word of God goes to great lengths to teach us what the extremely happy man does do as well. Notice what your Bible says in verse 2. But his delight, whose delight? The blessed man, the extremely happy man, the man that has determined with all of his heart that he's going to live a guarded life. But his delight, what is his delight in? Verse 2 says, it is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And of course, the law of the Lord refers to the Scriptures. The law of the Lord refers to the Word of God, what thus saith the Lord. The law of the Lord refers to the Bible. Hear me tonight. The Bible is the guiding influence of the blessed man's life. The Bible. Not public opinion, but the Bible. Not what is right in the eyes of men, but rather what is right in the eyes of the Lord. The blessed man lives a guided life. If the Bible says it's right, then according to the blessed man, it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, then according to the blessed man, even though it is the year of 2024, it's wrong. The blessed man is a man of the book. He is making much of the Bible, and therefore the Bible is making much of him. The blessed man loves his Bible. He has determined to not only be a hearer of the Word, but ultimately to be a doer of the Word. He reads his Bible when he doesn't feel like reading it. He studies his Bible when he doesn't feel like studying it. When his flesh says, you're too tired to read, he will force himself to pick up the Word of God, because he realizes that God's Word is a light unto his path. It's a lamp unto his feet, and he's guided by the Bible. Hallelujah. He's guided by the Bible. If you'll notice verse 2, we see the blessed man's pleasure in the Word of God. The psalmist said he's delighting in it. In verse 2, we see the blessed man's pondering in the Word of God. He's not only delighting in it, he's meditating in it. In verse 2, we see the blessed man's persistence in the Word of God. He's not meditating in the Scriptures just during the Sunday morning Sunday school hour and not just on the Lord's Day. Oh, no. Verse number 2 is abundantly clear. The blessed man, the extremely happy man, he is meditating in the law of the Lord day and night. He is a guided man. He is guided by the Bible. The blessed man feels the same way about the Bible as the prophet Jeremiah felt about it when he said, according to Jeremiah 15 and 16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Can I tell you about the blessed man, the extremely happy man? Oh yes, he lives a guarded life, but he lives a guided life. I believe he's memorized some verses of Scripture out of the 119th Psalm, like verse number 1 of that Psalm, where the Bible says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verses like verse 2 of the 119th Psalm, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Verse 9 of the 119th Psalm says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Why, it's no wonder the psalmist said in verse 11 of the 119th Psalm, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I know you've heard this before. I know you've heard your pastor say this, no doubt, time and time again, but sometimes it does a local church good to know that there are other preachers that believe, just like their pastor believes, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Have you ever been able to say honestly about your Bible what the psalmist said in verse 162 of the 119th? Psalm, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. This Bible ought to mean something to you tonight. You ought to love this Bible. You ought to make time for this Bible every day. Other books were written for our information, but this book was written for our transformation. The blessed man, the extremely happy man, according to verse 2, he is guided by the word of God. He doesn't live by chance. He doesn't shoot from the hip. The blessed man lives a life of faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the living God of glory. Can I ask you a question tonight? How's your relationship with your Bible? Have you been reading your Bible? Have you been studying your Bible? It was a great day in my life when God convicted me as I was a pastor many, many years ago. God convicted me as a pastor. Now, I was reading my Bible. I have no doubt that Cassie was reading her Bible. But as a family, we had not made a real commitment to daily devotions at our house. I shall never forget when God convicted me. I was visiting a missionary on the field. And he was like most missionaries. He had 8 or 9 kids running around, and I think 3 or 4 on the way. And every morning on the mission field, every morning, I bet you Dr. Barker just figured out who it is. Every morning, see me after the service, every morning this family would have daily devotions, and they would read their Bible, and everyone, they'd go around that table, 8, 9 young'uns, 4 or 5 on the way, and they'd read a verse, she'd read a verse, he'd read a verse, they'd read a verse, and then the daddy of the family would lead in family prayer. I shall never forget that. God smote my heart. I went back to our home at that time in Covington, Georgia. I got my wife and my son together, and I said, look, I know we are constantly at church. We live at church. Joshua cut his teeth on a Baptist hymnal, but from this moment on, we're going to start having family corporate devotions. And so that night at supper time, that was the time we did it. Miss Cassie had the rule. She ran it by me, and of course I approved it. You better believe I approved it. She said, I don't think we need to bring cell phones to the table. I said, I second that motion. We didn't care how Joshua voted, so we made the rule. No cell phones at the supper table at night. That was the time that we spent talking to each other and hearing about each other's day. And I'll never forget those first few days when we started doing family devotions. I know I'm not near as spiritual as you. It only took about a week or so, and I listened to the devil one day, and the devil said, you are wasting your time. Your son Joshua don't want anything to do with these devotions. It's just a waste of time. Why don't you keep doing yours privately? Let Cassie do hers, but don't lead anymore in family devotions. And so I'm honest again. I'm not near as spiritual as you. When it come time for family devotions one night, I just didn't even come out. I ate an early supper that day. I didn't even come out for family devotions, and I was in my bedroom doing something. And my little son Joshua, at that time, he was probably no more than 7 or 8 years old. My little son Joshua come in my room and he said, "Daddy, we are having devotions tonight. Where are you?" Man, I picked my Bible up and I went and led my family that night in family devotions, and our lives were never again the same. You want to walk the extreme way of happiness. You want to be extremely happy, intensely happy. Fall in love with this Bible. Lead your family to read your Bible. Study this Bible. You will become that blessed man. Because you see, the blessed man lives a guided life. The blessed man is guided by the Bible. You know, I've not preached this message a ton of times. It's a fairly new message. I've always loved the Psalms. In fact, Pastor Barker, Cassie, do you remember? This is the very first Psalm that we memorized in daily devotions at our house. We memorized it. Our son Joshua, we could all quote the very first Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And we just memorize this psalm and say it over and over and over again. But as many times as I've preached this message, I have never shared that story about our devotion. So I'm just wondering, maybe there are some daddies here tonight. And God has dealt with your heart about that. Can I say to you, you want to do something for your children? Huh? You want to do something for your wives? You want to do something for your family? Put the cell phones down, turn the TV off at night, and gather around the kitchen table. Enjoy a meal together, preferably one that mama cooks. Now, I'm starting to meddle now. I better leave that alone. But enjoy a meal together. You can go through the drive-thru real quick on the way home and then spread it out on the table. Enjoy a meal together. And I challenge you. Why don't you take the very first psalm and memorize the first psalm? Oh, but preacher, that's just not me. Why isn't it you? Why isn't it you? You don't want to be extremely happy? You don't want to be intensely happy? Well, God is revealing the true pathway to extreme happiness right here in the first psalm. And if you're going to be extremely happy according to the Lord, you're going to have to be guided by this book. This book. This book. Would it be great if the next time I come here, and I'm already looking forward to it, whenever it is, but wouldn't it be great the next time I come here, if I walk through the door, Daddy, you bring your whole family up to me, line all the young'uns up, and say, "Preacher, turn to the very first psalm." I'll turn to the first psalm, and then I want to hear your whole family say, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The ungodly are not so. But like the chaff, which the wind driveth away, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, when you do that, the next time I'm blessed to come, you know what I'm going to do? You're going to be standing right there, and you're going to expect me to say, hallelujah, that's a great job. Kiddies, great job. No, if you do that, I'll give you my word. I'll give you my word. I will say, hallelujah. And if Jesus comes back before then, Brother Barker can say, hallelujah. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. Because the blessed man lives a guided life. Now, one more thing and I'm through. The blessed man, verse 1, lives a guarded life. The blessed man, verse 2, lives a guided life. Now notice the progression of the psalm. The guarded life, verse 1, the guided life, verse 2, will always, I say it will always, let me say it again, it will always lead to a gladdened life, verse 3, always. It never fails. The blessed man lives a gladdened life. Look with me again, one more time, if you would please. Verse 3. And he, who is that? The blessed man. The man that's determined to live a guarded life and a guided life. The man who places more confidence in the Word of God than he does in the words of men. And he, watch your Bible now, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. According to the Bible, a guarded life and a guided life will always result in a gladdened life. In fact, God makes mention of the man that lives a guarded life and a gladdened life, that he's like a tree. And not just any tree, but first of all, he's a planted tree. Do you see it? Verse 3, the word planted in the text speaks of stability. The word planted in the text speaks of security. See, the blessed man, the extremely happy man, he's not up and down like a yo-yo, and neither is he in and out like a muskrat. Oh, no, he's planted. He's stable. He's secure. He is unwavering when it comes to God and the things of God. And by the way, did you notice where he's planted? Listen, I don't have time to do all this preaching. Y'all just too good folk to preach to. You like preaching. You can tell you get good preaching around here. But did you notice what your Bible said? What is the blessed man planted by? He's not planted by those things that suck life out of him. He's planted by those things, rivers of water, that make an investment in him. That's why you'll find the blessed man in Sunday school every Sunday. He's planted by the rivers of water. That's why a blessed man reads and studies his Bible even though his flesh doesn't feel like it, because he's planted, he's stable, he's secure, and he's planted by those things that invest in him. Lots of preaching should be done right there. He's a planted tree, but then he's a prosperous tree. The Lord says through the pen of the psalmist, let me tell you about the extremely happy man, the blessed man, the man that lives a guarded life and a guided life and makes no apology for it. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit. And I'm so glad God put these next few words in my Bible. In his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And God just summed it all up by saying this: and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everything he lays his hand. Now that doesn't mean he has a problem-free life, but it does mean nobody can deny this man's blessed. He brings forth fruit in his season. He may not be as fruitful now as he will be on down the road, but since he is planted by the right thing, He knows, he is well aware of the fact that if he just stays faithful, sooner or later, the fruit will come. He may not see the fruit today that he would like to see, but sooner or later, if he stands, if he continues to guard his life, if he continues to be guided by the truths of the, if he just stands firm, he is convinced, because God has given his word, the fruit will come. He brings forth fruit in his season. His leaves will not wither. And whatsoever he does, God said, would prosper. Now you may be here tonight in closing and you say, well, preacher, I'd like to live that kind of life, but I'm having a hard go of it. Now I'm just going to be honest with you, preacher. I'm having a hard go of it. Are you telling me I can be extremely happy in spite of my circumstances? Absolutely. And here's why. In verse 6, remember the contrast I drew between the first three verses of the psalm and the last three verses of the psalm? In verse 6, right in the middle of all that darkness of verses 4, 5, and 6, how that the ungodly man is driven and doomed and devastated, right in the middle of all of that darkness, in verse 6, God hangs a little light of encouragement for the blessed man. Here's why you can be blessed of God. In spite of your circumstances, in spite of your fear, do you see the little light that God hung in the darkness in verse 6? Here it is, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You know why you can live a blessed life? Because God knows. I may not know, your pastor may not know, ladies, your precious pastor's wife, she may not know, but God knows. Job said on one occasion, I look on my right hand and I couldn't find him. I look on my left hand, he is not there. I go forward, I go backward. I'm looking for the Lord, but I'm having a hard time tracking him. But since there'll never be a time when I can't trust him, I'm just going to go ahead, Job said, and make a statement of faith right here. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold. You know why you can be an extremely happy man in spite of the trouble, in spite of that little situation that's going on down there at work? You can be extremely happy in spite of it, because a guarded life and a guided life always leads to a gladdened life. And you can live a gladdened life because God knows where you're at. We've said these four words several times tonight. Let's close the preaching part of the service out by saying them again. Blessed is the man. One more time. Blessed is the man. Now, I wasn't kidding about that challenge. Whenever the Lord blesses me to come back, whenever that would be, if there was a mom and daddy, they'd stand their youngins up and say, hey, preacher, we got something we want you to listen to. And quote that first psalm. I guarantee you, I might have to take a lap around this building. Maybe. And if I can't do it, I'll get one of these younger men that's well able to do it for me. But I'm just wondering tonight, would you determine to live a guarded life? Now, that's good preaching for all of us, regardless of the age, but there's a whole lot of young folks in here tonight. Would to the Lord in glory a preacher would have challenged me like I challenge you tonight. Live a guarded life. Live a guided life. Read, study your Bible. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. You know, there's a whole lot of things I don't understand in the Bible, but I know this. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. And if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. God doesn't have to. Listen, God created the whole universe. He didn't take 40-11 chapters to explain every minute detail. He told us that He spoke it into existence. And we'd be very, very wise to say, yes, sir. The Bible says it's right, it's right. And God doesn't have to spend 10 years explaining it to me. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. That's what I believe. What about you? You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me?